WrestleTalk.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio, boo.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, WrestleTalk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake!
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
It was right here in this room my father taught me. He said, keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
TNA.
What are you looking at, lady? Never seen a pair of boots before? Mind your business.
I think that's a man.
Oh, she needs a wax or something.
You're right.
Ew.
And the indie scene.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Hey, everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross.
With your host, Tim Stein.
Your internet slow. Did you disable cookies?
Omega.
Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who is the fairest one of all?
Mace.
Why so serious?
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Did you know I'm utterly insane?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Have a nice day.
Yeah, baby.
Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Another week of wrestling, another week of opinions, another week of news, and whatever the hell else we come off the rails to talk about. It's all coming up, and of course we start with me, the be-all end-all of the network, Omega, and then we go to Mace.
It's chaos and mayhem, we have no run sheet.
My God, the whole thing is going to be a shoot.
Damn right. We're going ECW 1995. A shoot.
The one rattling there is
cicadas,
one and only
suddenly?
Tim Stein.
Yes, it is. And it's a bit of a free-form evening, although we have some notes and stuff that we can talk about, so it's not like we're going to... So, what do you think we should talk about tonight, Omega?
Wrestling?
Mace, how did you like Spider-Man 2?
Well, if you go into the archive section of WildTalkRadio.com, you can find a little Bashing the Book special that I put up covering The Amazing Spider-Man 2 and all its flaws.
I see.
Shameless shill.
That was a shill. I don't know how shameless it was.
I have no shame in shilling anything these days. That's what happens when you're on this network for four or 5 years. You lose all shame. It's just gone.
Hey, Mace, are you on Twitter?
I am indeed, at the Macing.
Oh, really? How come I'm not following you?
Because I probably blocked you.
I don't see how you could. You don't know what my Twitter handle is.
Damn. You foiled my plans once again, Tim.
Arr.
I'll get you, Gadget, next time.
Next time, Gadget.
Hey, that was good. I should try that.
That was actually quite good.
Yeah. We found a voice Tim Stein can do, aside from Sean fucking Connery.
Next time, Gadget. Hello. Doctor, what about the cat?
No, never mind.
Okay. See, all that smoking finally came to Andy.
I'm not doing that voice anymore. That is the voice, actually, of every 80-year-old woman who has spent her entire life smoking. Thanks for blowing the joke by, jumping ahead, as it were. Jumping the gun.
I'm in Florida. I've been in bingo halls. I can confirm that.
Bingo halls.
Cool. I was in a bingo hall once. Looked around, walked right back out.
You are a wise man.
I know, and I want that clipped so we can play it.
Didn't say a name.
No, we're not playing Tim Stein bingo.
Usually, isn't it you walked into a bingo hall and then decided to put on a wrestling show?
Yeah.
He's not Paul Heyman.
I was about to say, if your name's Paul Heyman, there you go. So, officially, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Wild Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It's actually an edition of Wrestle Talk Radio. Don't mind me. My head is congested. I've had a head cold for I don't know how long, but it's been long enough that it's really, it's to the point where you get pissed off, you know?
That's usually when you drown yourself in cold and flu medicine for a few days and go, fuck off, leave me alone.
Yeah, I figured I'd just drink the rest of the cinnamon whiskey that Rock didn't finish last night. Oh, by the way, if you're in the chat room, please feel free to chat with us because we'll respond to you and all this other fun stuff. Say hello if you're brand new. If you're not brand new, Stare Scream Josh, just ask what's up. And when you type in all caps, because that's internet for yelling, as you all know. And, of course, Joe producer, Sir Rock, and he's got a headache. He was at a wedding reception last night. So type in all caps.
Because that's how that works.
Yeah. And that'll just really annoy him that I'm getting everybody to type in all caps, which will contribute to the headache. The fact that you're typing in all caps won't do anything except, make me chuckle that you're doing it. See? Just like Rock did in the chat room. You can read that yourself. That was funny, as far as I'm concerned. It's kind of ironic that you actually typed it out in all caps, too, Rock. But whatever. Anyway, yeah. We just normally talk wrestling on this show, so we should probably do a little bit of that. Why don't we start with our win and our fail for this week, and let's start with Omega. What's your win for this week, boy?
You'll excuse me. This has been something of a nightmare of a week. I'm having trouble remembering Raw and all.
Okay.
I think I'm going to go with the Battle Royal.
Fair enough.
Thank God. The title changed.
So there you go. Yeah.
Jeez.
Well, you figure that now that Sheamus has... Oh, spoiler alert! Sheamus won the Battle Royal.
Spoiler alert for something that happened a week ago.
Yeah. You figure the U.S. title will be defended a little more often, do you?
I hope so.
More than once every 6 months?
Nothing against Dean Ambrose. He's a great talent, but... Oh my God, it's not his fault. I mean, the writers basically forgot to do anything with the U.S. title.
Well, when you've got the three of them together, it's kind of hard for one person to defend one title.
They could have done something.
they had too many feuds going on for the Shield to take Dean and do this and say, okay, you know what, do that.
That's great. That's all well and good for pay-per-views, but do you have these things called like Raw and SmackDown where, you could throw them in a singles match?
Stop. Okay, Logic, how dare you? How dare you, sir?
Just bring Logic into this discussion of the WWE.
Absolutely. So, okay, we've got Omega's win for the week. What about you, Mace?
I'll be honest, I'm going to sort of veer away from the world of WWE for my win of this week.
No way.
To sort of a semi-personal note, a former show that I used to be on Tuesday nights once upon a time that we dare not mention name of now, used to have a guest on quite often called Jessica Havoc. Yes, one of the top women's wrestlers as voted by the PWI magazine. She actually got her debut with TNA Wrestling over the weekend in the taping of their Knockouts only pay-per-view. So it's good. It's sort of good on her for going from the independent scene to possibly being signed by one of the major companies. The lower end of the major companies that will pay her a mere pittance compared to what they would have paid once upon a time.
The dirt sheets say they were very impressed with Jessica.
As they should be. She's a very good women's wrestler, and even though we won't get to see this thing for at least 6 months, as I've been informed, it'll be interesting to see her match with Madison Rayne when it happens. But hey, it's good. She supposedly had a very good match, and as Omega said, you know, she impressed TNA talents. Hopefully, she gets signed and makes a bit of money.
Well, good on her.
Yeah, then she can like buy more Resident Evil games.
And of course, we have our Joe producer just bringing up shit in the production chat. What a dick.
But yes, other than trying to derail the show, Tim, how about your win for this week?
All right, well, my win, it's a double win, and it ties in with what Omega said. It's the Battle Royal from Raw last week, which resulted in the title change. So that's like a twofer? Two for one? Hmm. It was entertaining. It got, you know, it switched up something that was stale. And put the U.S. title on somebody else. So, thank you for asking what my win was. That was very, very nice of you. But I got a question for you, Mace.
Let me guess.
Yep.
Here's the funny thing. Both of you bring up your win this week to be the Battle Royal.
Yeah.
While my fail is not the Battle Royal itself, it was quite entertaining, I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
My fail is what WWE perceived the ending to be. Surprisingly enough, that ending to the Battle Royal was supposed to be Sheamus' heel turn.
Ooh, really?
Which is completely lost on just about everybody on the planet.
Oh my god, he turned heel by doing what he had to do to win the match, wait.
Yeah, exactly. He turned heel by using his finish on a heel and then eliminating him from a match where you're supposed to eliminate everybody anyway.
It's a battle royal!
Yeah!
Yeah, does it make sense? No,
not at all. But that was supposed to be Sheamus's heel turn.
Well, now, here's the thing about that. Even before last Monday night, I've been hearing rumors and reading rumors and discovering rumors that they're actually going to drop the idea of Sheamus turning heel anytime soon.
No, the report's coming out after Monday Night Raw was that was supposed to be Sheamus' heel turn.
Ah.
Because there's sort of an idea that they're coming up with for their European tour later this year, which we will talk about later in the program.
Which is coming up, yeah. And, yeah, there's at least one thing I know about that isn't exactly news, I don't think, at this point in time anymore anyway. So, yeah, okay, so the ending of the match was your fail, or the reaction to the ending of the match was your fail.
Oh, it's more fail on creative really trying to book a heel turn that makes absolutely no sense in a way that really makes no sense at all.
All right, Omega.
Using your finish as a heel turn in a match that you're supposed to eliminate people, that just does not make any sense whatsoever.
And that's basically what they did.
Exactly.
Okay. Omega, fail.
I'm sorely tempted to go to TNA for my fail.
Mm-hmm.
Because this was the Menagerie's debut, and oh my god.
Okay.
Because they attempted to recreate the Wyatts, and they ended up creating the Oddities.
You almost make me want to go back and watch it.
Well, it's a complete with two clowns on stilts, like the Insane Clown Posse on crack.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I'll I didn't actually watch the show. I just kind of flipped through that and watched what I could. So technically, not my.
That sounds like me. I just happened to be channel flipping, and it's like, oh, TNA. Oh, so this is the menagerie people that they're talking about. Wow, this is stupider than Willow. Oh, look, I robbed Terry in a mask.
So basically, Dixie Carter had no right to jump on a fan for claiming that TNA is copying WWE. Other than the fact that the fan didn't say that they were doing it badly. Would this be close to accurate?
They say imitation is the highest form of flattery. It is also the most likely to cause a copyright infringement. It's essentially what this is. Oh my god.
Well, bad imitation. Is that not akin to sarcasm being the lowest form of humor?
Well,
if it's done poorly?
Jeez. But I actually explained this one. Like, if you look at the cast,
yep.
If you actually look at the cast of the menagerie, it really is like they filled every single spot of the oddities.
Yep.
They got their two freak clowns. They got their giant muscle. They got their big guy. They got their oddball. They've got their freak female.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got Doink the Clown's music. So.
Yeah, definitely a win for failing, if that makes any sense to anybody, if you get it.
Go down in Shockmaster history.
We might have a new addition to the Great Debate List at some point in time. All right. Well, my fail is a very mild one, actually, because I didn't watch TNA, because I generally don't. It's the debut of Adam Rose.
I was almost going to go for that one.
Yeah, it was supposed to be a bigger deal, right? You had all of this build up for how long now? Like 6 weeks or something like that on TV? You know, don't be a lemon, be a rosebud or whatever. And he comes out. Now, there's a win inside the fail. And we noticed this on Monday Night Raw in our personal private little chat. That it was funny, and it kind of sort of astonished somebody, I think it was Mace, with the speed of the internet these days.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you guys know by now, I'm sure, what I'm talking about. The win inside this fail is that GIF that's available on the internet where you see Zeb Coulter tilting his head to the right, and then you see Adam Rose tilting his head to the right.
Yep. It's interesting to see how quickly, again, that's provided by WrestlingWithTex.com.
Yeah.
This guy is so quick on Mondays to have these things out.
He's so quick he pisses off his girlfriend. Sorry.
But the thing is, even the WWE wrestlers love his work,
mm-hmm.
which is quite surprising. But yeah, like some of these things are just amazing. Concerning Adam Rose, I've said this so many times in our production chat, I just want to get it out there on the air for people who have followed NXT for a while.
Yeah, you might as well.
I miss this guy and his Leo Kruger gimmick. It was so much more intense, it was believable, and it had probably more potential than this comedic Adam Rose bullshit that's going to end up putting him with Santino in a few months.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't know, but I think that they took something that had potential and just totally fucked it right up.
Pretty much.
See, I never saw Leo Kruger, so all I know is Adam Rose. When he debuted on NXT, you know, great energy, great personality. It was one of the most fun debuts I've ever seen.
Uh-huh.
It was great. But it really was lacking on Raw. And I don't know if it's just because the much bigger arena with the same number of people in the party might have taken out some of the flair. But from my understanding, the idea is, well, we're going to work him in slowly and get people acclimated to the character before we put him in a debut match. And I keep thinking, isn't that what all the vignettes were for?
You would think so, right? But WWE seems to have this mentality that, okay, so we're going to inundate you with 6 weeks of this shit, and then we're not going to do anything with the guy when he debuts for at least 3 weeks. And I'm like, no, if you're going to give me 6 weeks of something that you're hyping up to be, you know, the next thing, then do something the day he shows the hell up.
I will also say the other thing the NXT debut had going for it is they switched up theme songs because they didn't actually have the rights to use the one they did for his first match.
Uh-huh.
And the one they used for his first match, way catchier.
Uh-huh.
Way easier to get the crowd into it.
Interesting.
Yeah, that, like, here's the thing. Like, the one thing I noticed, like, again, Omega sort of brings up a good point. You know, he saw NXT when it debuted with the WWE Network and all that. There's a lot of gimmicks, music, and everything that happened pre all that stuff that was so much better fitting for a lot of the characters and a lot of the wrestlers than what it is today.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing I've started to notice, there's pretty much only one exception to this, is that those that have been called up from this current crop of NXT up on the Raw have sort of come in and it either takes some time to build,
yeah,
or they just sort of fall dead. You know, take a look at Rusev. You know, great talent in NXT, had a good strong debut at the Rumble. Then they kept him off TV for nearly 2 months.
Yep.
And then when they brought him back out again, his reactions have been nearly deadpan.
Yep.
You know, Adam Rose did quite well in NXT, got a good reaction. Comes out on Raw, something's lacking, the crowd reaction's not quite there. Emma, same thing. Had a great reaction in NXT, sort of a reaction on Raw. Paige, again, same thing. Amazing reactions in NXT. She's getting a slow fan base build in on Raw now. The only exception to this whole thing has been the Wyatts. They've gone from being over like a motherfucker in NXT to being over as a motherfucker on Raw. But even then, that took time to sort of gain traction and build too.
Well, the other thing about it is when they finally actually entered the arena, you know, we've been treated to these little backstage vignettes where he lights the candle and then lights the lantern. And he says, we're coming, blows out the light. We're coming, blows out the light. We're coming, blows out. Finally.
Well, he didn't even get that. We got all the video clip stuff.
Yeah. And then finally.
Set the music.
Well, that, in addition to that too. But, finally, he lights the lantern and says, we're here, blows out the flame. They come out. And what happened immediately when they came out?
Well, people were in sort of stunned silence because they never saw this type of entrance being done in years.
Very quietly going, whoa, fucking cool.
Yeah, well, that was the thing. It was stunned silence.
Yep.
Yeah, well, what you saw there was just was raw fascination because that was something that you hadn't seen in so long. This was a psychological character that WWE hasn't developed in an eternity.
Yep.
So when you expose the brand new PG era crowd to something that cerebral is extraordinarily new to them, and they'll just sit in awe of it.
Awe.
Wrong version.
Yeah. Wrong version of the awe. Yeah. No,
but,
I know.
But then you look at all these other upbeat characters. Like you take a look at Emma and Adam Rose in particular. Very upbeat. Very crowd. They're sort of the really happy, meant to be the ones that connect with the crowd type characters.
Mm-hmm.
Adam's Rose debut didn't quite get over the way that you would have expected it to do. Neither did Emma's. I'll be honest. I reckon the arena size plays a big factor in it, because it's easier to thrill a small crowd than to thrill a larger crowd of, you know, almost 10 times the size.
Yeah. Well, supposedly from the live reports, the debut for Adam Rose went off better in person than it did on TV. Because part of that is the TV really only gets so much of the reaction. But you raised the point before, and it was almost my fail of the week too. God, now that I think of it, I had like three fails this week.
But amazing how shit just kind of like sort of gets jogged in your brain after talking about it.
Yeah. Okay. You're talking about Rusev, who now is he dropped the Alexander.
Mm-hmm.
He now resides in Russia, so apparently a couple weeks on Raw paid well enough to move.
Yeah, from what, Belarus or no, Bolivia or Bulgaria?
Yeah, from Bulgaria to Russia.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's
really
long distance.
There.
Yeah. Vladimir Putin.
Oh my God.
What is her name again? Yeah.
Lana.
God, Lana. The finale of a Gallagher show is less subtle.
No kidding. Hey, here's a question.
Before you question, all right. I just want to say
directed at you.
Because I know Omega's or thinks this already, but the Putin thing, while being very obvious, I didn't mind it at the pay-per-view as a one-off. Mm. You know, it's a real cheap heat getter.
No.
But if you're going to do it every week, like she's gone from the pay-per-view to Raw so far, if she comes out and does it tomorrow night on Raw again, it's going to be one of those things that's just going to go downhill, and it's just going to get no reaction whatsoever.
Oh, I think
like, I know the whole thing between America and Russia is like supposedly, you know, tension and all this crap, but trying to use it as cheap heat week after week after week diminishes what you're trying to accomplish. Do it once, and that's all you need.
Well, this week was just trying so fucking hard, just beating it into your skull. Like, at the pay-per-view, it's a dedication to Vladimir Putin. Okay, fine. This week, oh, you are all pawns, and I'm not going to attempt the accent, because I can't do the accent. You're all pawns.
Pawns! No, I can't do it either, so go ahead.
You know, and they bring up Edward Snowden. Like,
who? Yeah, exactly.
Really? Okay, number one, you're a couple months late on that. We stopped giving a shit.
Yeah.
Number two is like, okay, the giant Vladimir Putin picture, not enough. You are all pawns, not enough. Oh, let's throw Snowden on there, too, and the whole WikiLeaks thing.
No.
Really?
Yeah, I'm sorry. At this point, I'm just sitting here and going, just Lana, just once, give us moose and squirrel, and that's it. Your job is done. Please retire.
Yeah, there you go. Now, let me ask you really quick before I bring up what I'm going to bring up because of you guys talking about all of this shit. Mace, what's the best thing about Rusev's entrance?
Lana's ass.
I knew you'd say that.
That ass.
I set you up for that, and I knew you would not disappoint me. Because I'm not going
to. I am
I'm
sorry.
Not
there
disagree.
Is, yeah, there is not a person, a red-blooded male or even female on this planet that would not disagree with the fact of that ass.
Hey, Lindsay agrees with you.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if that means anything or not, but awesome. But now, let me bring this up. Do you guys see WWE actually bridging a between heels and baby faces as far as crowd reaction? When it's no secret that some heels are really over as crowd favorites without being baby faces, and that's fine because, you know, we still like the baby faces to be the good guys while the heels are doing this thing. Do you see this happening? Let's see what we do if we do it this way. Let's see what happens if we go like that. And then you get two heels coming out and, you know, people are half the arena is cheering for the good guy. The other half of the arena is cheering for the bad guy.
I've seen it. I've noticed it more and more.
Yeah.
Where it's less that they book guys as heels or baby faces, more that they just book a character. Just whatever happens, happens.
Okay, now, that in mind, imagine, because you see, this guy's already getting a lot of crowd response. I'm not going to call it heat because it's crowd response that he's getting. Do you not see the inevitable conclusion of this whole thing going on with Rusev and Lana and Vladimir Putin?
I see it as...
Come on, you can do it.
What I see is Umaga.
Umaga?
Yeah. I see a character who was built up for pure power, has only has personality in their manager, and once that appeal tapers off, just another mid-carder that's never going to do anything.
Okay, now that's
except
so totally
maybe cost Vince McMahon his hair.
So totally not what I was alluding to, but I understand what you're saying. Mace, can you pick up on my hints?
If you're trying to say that this is going to be a throwback to the 1980s,
mm-hmm.
where we'd have somebody in a red and yellow t-shirt come out, rip it off, and drop a leg. Just remember that guy sort of has a bionic hip and a bad back and can't do the leg drop anymore.
Exactly. But you were closer than Omega was.
My point still stands.
Okay. Stand up, put your hands on your heart, and repeat after me.
Shut up, Zeb.
The people.
No, because that's not the guy you want to turn face.
No, it's not.
You don't have to turn him face. Like I was saying, you can have the crowd react positively during a campaign with Rusev and whoever Zeb Coulter pulls in. Because there's no way in hell I see Jack Swagger. Although with WWE's thinking, it'll be Jack Swagger. Jack Swagger, they're going to make into the, you know, the real American for 2014. Or at least they'll try.
No,
WWE.
Let's just face it. It's going to be Rusev Smash until we hear a certain pseudo rapper military fanboy sort of go, "Hey, you got a job to me."
Yeah, how long till the next tribute to the troops?
December.
Change. 7 months.
They could probably hold him that long just to demolish him there.
But until then, I'm saying something's going to happen with Zeb Coulter as far as the, you know, Rusev with even a mini program.
No. I'm thinking he's good where he is right now with the whole going after Paul Heyman and Cesaro thing.
For now.
Yeah, technically you've already got heel versus heel in that feud.
So
it's like three heels and a tweener.
Okay, well, you do realize if and when this happens, I'm going to rub it in your faces.
And we're going to tell you to shut the fuck up as always. So,
usual. Yeah, you're just going to say, "Shut up, old man." Is that what you say?
No, just shut the fuck up, Tim.
Oh, well, that's different. Okay. On that note, why don't we take our first time out of the evening here?
Sounds good.
Yeah, you're listening to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere, but while you're waiting, click on the Google ads that are on the website because we're only $5 away from being able to pay for the server. We'll be back right after this.
Fight for the rights of every man. I am a real. every Monday night. Get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns.
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moment. And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I, once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show. Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply thebomb.com.
Hey, did you know that CB Radio is all over social media? Well, now you do, bitch asses. We are all over Facebook and Twitter. When it comes to Facebook, it's simple. Just go to facebook.com/cigarettebuttsandbandanas. All one word. It's not that difficult. Go ahead, enter it in your website address, fucking go to it, even search for it if you're really that lazy. Go to Facebook, search up at the top cigarette butts and bandanas. You know, it's not that difficult to find us and like us. Come on, you listen to us every week. Just fucking give us a like. We're all over Twitter, too. Every single one of us is on Twitter. You can follow the show at CB Radio WTR. That's the letter R, you know, Q-R-S. I just can't pronounce it. You know, I'm from Boston. Suit my bitches. After you follow the show, be sure to follow me, the Boston badass himself, at Mr. Chris Loesch. L-O-E-S-C-H. All one word. That's in case you didn't know how to spell my last name. You can follow Rob Pox, you know, the godfather of extreme, at CB Radio G-O-E. And you can even follow Subway, who actually has got Twitter. He has a smartphone now and is on Twitter. So you can follow him, and hopefully he makes a little bit more sense there than he does on air, at X-Core Subway. Not that difficult, was it, people? Now stay a part of the fun and excitement that happens off the air, just as well as you do on the air, every Saturday night at midnight-ish, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air, don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
Going to say something about Wild Talk Radio or what?
I sure am. Every time we get a chance, we check this out. WildTalkRadio.com. You should too if you want to be on the inside.
This is Axe and I'm Smash. Then you better listen to Wild Talk Radio or we're going to kick your stinking teeth in.
back. WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And yeah, you did something during the break, Mace, that I wanted to bring up as kind of like a win for me as well. Just it was mean but funny. Do you want to let people in on what I'm talking about, seeing as you brought it
well,
up in
considering chat room? Well, considering it's your topic, go for it.
Well, it's not because you're
not doing your job.
Fine. I love my mother. That was a really, 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 really bad voice. But it's referring to the Mr. T Mother's Day tribute they played. That was a bit of a win for me.
Oh, I'm so happy WWE found a good use for that footage.
Oh, that was good. I hate to admit it, but it was good.
Yes, and considering today is the day, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Without our mothers, we would not be here.
That's kind of circular logic, isn't it?
And well, it's not untrue.
It's not untrue, exercising redundancy. So, yeah. But as fun as it was, what were we talking about before we decided to take a break? Stuff, right? Let's talk about more stuff. Or did you want to talk a little bit more about Mr. T and the footage?
No, it was just funny that they did it.
It was. It's just too bad that we didn't think about it early enough to get the video clip for Rock to actually play on the player. That would have been good. Yeah. And it also would have killed
Excuse me for wanting to go and get a drink during the commercial break.
Yeah. Oh, well, you got a drink? Shame on you. What are you drinking? Coke?
Solar.
What's that?
Basically lemon drink.
Oh, okay. Fair enough, I'm drinking Coke. Why? Because I'm addicted to Coke.
He finally admits, at least we can get him in the rehab now.
I'm a Coke addict, and I'll tell you, back in the 80s when I said that out loud at a family gathering, my mother freaked out until she realized what I was talking about, because I had to explain it to her. Now I can smile. Anyway, have you heard about what apparently happened backstage? According to Dave Meltzer.
Well, a lot of things happened backstage, Tim.
Sheamus and Sin Cara 2, also known as Unico, they got into it at this week's WWE tapings in New York. There's a little bit of a set to. Did you not hear about any of this?
Well, yeah. Heard about it.
No. According to reports, Unico actually bested the big man Sheamus.
Not something you will ever see on WWE television.
No, but this just brought to brought back memories of Jericho basically kicking the shit out of Goldberg in the back and then having to submit to the jackhammer in front of the cameras. Just a lesson, kids. Don't ever think it's the size of the dog in the fight. It's always the size of the fight in the dog. So, yeah. Yeah, I just thought, we'd bring that up. This is going to be a very short show tonight.
Apparently.
Yeah, it's not going to be very long at all. But
yeah, not really quite a week, really.
Yeah, that's okay. It's not a whole hell of a lot that's really happened, to tell you the truth, to talk about. But recently, WWE contacted Chris Jericho yet again to come back and do some stuff. Jericho wasn't able to do it because he's got commitments with that rock and roll band of his. What do they call themselves? Fuzzy.
Hot Pops? Fuzzy. Like Fuzzy Bear.
Yeah.
Think Muppets.
No, I know. I was kidding.
Waka.
I was making an unfunny joke, you know? Like
unfuzzy joke?
Yeah, I was making an unfunny joke like Fozzie Bear. Waka. Anyway, yeah, so...
Then that would make Omega and I the old guys in the balcony.
Waldorf,
which, I'm actually happy. Stantler and Waldorf.
Yeah, it's Statler.
I love those guys.
Well, come on, let's be honest. Half the time we all tuned in to watch the Muppet Show because of Statler and Waldorf.
Oh yeah.
Hell yeah.
Heckler's extraordinary.
Might explain why I am such a snarky critic today.
Because of them. Yeah, no, I'm glad that I found on the internet episodes of the Muppets when I it's like, you know, really late at night and I'm not doing anything and I get kind of bored. I'll click it on and relive, you know, a little nostalgia watching an episode of the Muppet Show. It's a lot of fun. But yeah, getting back to Jericho vetoed the idea of his returning because being busy with Fozzy. But in addition, WWE creative didn't really present Jericho with any kind of storyline or an angle. And just recently, right before WrestleMania 30, when the prospect of fans thinking Jericho might make some kind of a surprise return at WrestleMania 30, Jericho shot that down, saying that he's one of those guys that's not going to do a one-off. He's when he comes back, it's going to be for an extended period of time, and they have to have something for him. But creative have absolutely nothing for him at this point in time. So it doesn't make sense to just come back and hang out.
Hey, Jericho, we really, really, really want you back because, like, we need some star power on the roster. Oh, cool. Yeah, what do you got for me? Huh?
Yeah.
We got this guy named Rusev. Can you lay down for him?
So, yeah. That's just, you know, a little bit of news and notes happening there. Here's a good question for you. Apparently, the decision to end the streak, Undertaker's WrestleMania streak, it was made like 4 hours prior to the start of the show. Isn't that a little bit of hot-shotting? Like, discuss, kids. What do you think about that?
Well, it's not anything to sort of go, oh, no, or, you know, really sort of have anything about. If there's one thing that's always been known about professional wrestling, is that up until, hell, the show actually happening, even during the show happening, script can change about 4,000 times.
Well,
and there's been reports.
Business.
Reports have been flying out for months that McMahon's been rewriting Raw up until the 11th hour.
Yeah. Well, that's been happening for decades. So he's been rewriting shows. But you and I both have firsthand knowledge of how shit can change from the opening national anthem till the first bell ring,
or even beyond. I've seen shows that change halfway through.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've been in that situation where we have hot-shotted or changed our minds or whatever, and we have a set idea to get to a certain spot, but, you know, input or whatever or circumstances has forced us to do, you know, we've wound up doing something a little bit different. And when it's done right, it works. Sometimes it's done out of necessity. Sometimes it happens because somebody's got a better idea than the booking team has come up with. And that's, you know, if you're honest with yourself, there's nothing wrong with, you know, getting a fresh perspective on things. And, of course, listening to some of the horror stories I've heard from you over the years, Mace, not everybody you've ever worked for has ever had a fresh perspective on shit down in Australia.
No, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but, you don't think they were caught by Bruce Hart.
when you take a good look at it, something as significant as the decision to end the streak, you know, it's not something that you're going to take lightly. You know, it's not like they turned around and went, you know, 6 months prior to WrestleMania, Taker, we're going to end your streak at WrestleMania. Cool, Vince, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, this would be something that would have had Vince and The Undertaker sitting down for hours and weeks on end going, what do we want to do about the finish? Who's going to go over? And it doesn't surprise me it led up until 4 hours before the pay-per-view. Because it's a big decision. You know, how many shows have we spent over the years debating when should it end, how should it end,
should it even end?
Yeah, should it even end? You know, yeah. That's the type of conversation that would have been going on between The Undertaker and Vince McMahon for weeks upon weeks coming up to WrestleMania.
Yeah, so basically this final decision 4 hours before the show starts, that was the culmination of, you know, at the very least, months worth of back and forth. Well, if we do this, if we do that, shall we do this, should we do that, who's going to be this guy, who's going to be that guy? Things have been outlined 5 or 10 different ways, roughly, before it all comes together. And that's just the way booking works. At least good booking. You have an outline, you figure it out. By the time the show starts, you generally have it down cold. But when I say by the time the show starts, back me up on this one, Mace. I mean literally by showtime. Not the day of, or the week of, or the night before, but as soon as the opening your opening music theme hits, that's by then. Usually, it's just like the guy. He's just, you know, crossing the T's and dotting the I's on the final booking.
Usually, but then again, I was involved in a show back when I was doing commentary. I had the owner of the company sort of sneak his way up behind where we were sitting on the desk.
Mm-hmm.
And he's whispered to me and my co-commentator, this kid's going over, we're giving him the title. Yeah. It was halfway through their match.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to, and I basically snuck my way around the ring, made sure to stay out of camera shots, got the ref to come down and tell him, this kid's going over. That's the new finish. Let the guys know. Then jump back on commentary. So, and this was halfway through a match.
Yeah.
That they decided to pull the finish and change it. You know. So it goes to show that even during matches, things can be changed on the fly. That's why the referees have an earpiece.
Yeah.
Because there are decisions that will be made on the fly.
And they
will
need
have to be transmitted to the ref. And the refs, that's why, you know.
Yep.
So that way they know what's going on. If Vince wants to change a finish, he just goes, okay, Hebner, this guy's going over. Let them know.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this.
He passes on and goes.
Yeah, let me ask you this question. Have you ever wrestled for an owner who had a separate booker, which is sometimes the case, sometimes the owner is involved in every single piece of it. Have you ever had an owner who had the outcome changed on him without his knowing it was going to be changed by the booker?
No, unfortunately not. The only time I've ever seen a finish change outside of the situation I just told you has been when somebody's gotten injured.
Okay. Well, Vinnie Fever did this to me during a two different shows of CAW. We sat down, we talked about it, and we basically dared each other to take one of the weakest members of the roster and get him over with the crowd. And he was a heel, and he was able to draw heat because he's, you know, French Canadian. He'd come out speaking French and waving the fleur-de-lis, the Quebec flag, and just trash talking in French. And every time he walked by me, I had a hard time keeping a straight face because I know a little bit of French, and I was able to, you know, figure out what he was saying. You know, it's just some of the funniest shit ever, and it had nothing to do with anything that was going on. But we got him over and turned him good guy, baby face. And then the following show, I didn't know what was going on. Like, I was told this is going to happen. I was asked, how do I want everything to unfold? And this one little match became the surprise of the night. Everything else was done the way I was wanting to get it done, and it was all scripted the way I pretty much in the direction I wanted to go. But this one little match right in the middle just got everybody back on their feet again. Here comes the newly turned French Canadian waving his flag, and everybody's cheering for him. Halfway through the match, we turned him, Vinnie Fever, turned him heel. So he goes from heel to face for like one night, back to heel the next night. Nobody expected it. It was like a double swerve.
Sounds like, was it? I think it was Punk versus Regal.
Mm-hmm.
Did the same type of thing.
Yeah.
Punk was getting over as a face at the time. This was real early in his, I think this was like a Superstars or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
He's wrestling Regal. Regal yep. goes, screw this, turns heel in the middle of the match
mm-hmm.
to put over Punk as a babyface for one night.
Yep. And it was very, very effective. But when I say one of the weaker members of the roster, I'm not saying he was a bad wrestler or anything else like that. It's just the reaction and everything else, you know.
Yeah.
Not exactly a big deal in the crowd. His matches were usually the beer breaks, if you will. Well, after those two shows that we had, his matches were no longer the beer breaks. But I knew the first show, I knew what was happening because it was my idea. The second show, I got swerved by my booker. I'm like, you prick, don't ever do that again. By the way, good job.
Right.
Poor Omega.
Yeah, I was about to say, let's bring Omega into this one.
Hi!
Welcome back to the program, Omega.
Nice to be a special guest on the show.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Omega, who plays with Lego. Tell me I'm wrong.
No, I'm
Tell
playing
me
with,
I'm wrong.
I'm playing with digital Lego while I'm waiting for you two fuckers to finish up.
You see, whoa. What's the operative word there? Lego. I was right.
It's all digital. I don't have a bin to shake at you.
Why, yada. Thank God you don't have any noisemakers this time. But here, let me help you. Just isn't the same.
So, yes, anyway. Undertaker decision 4 hours before WrestleMania, Omega, go.
You know what happens when Mason and I get talking shop?
Yeah. Same thing happens when me and May start talking geek.
Well, yeah, but the difference is, you know, I've got a little bit of geek in me. Not as much as you guys. Nobody has that much geek in them. Except maybe Sheldon.
I have a little bit of normal person in me.
There you go.
Punk said it. You know, they're still putting together WrestleMania 30 where he would already be concerned about WrestleMania 31. Mm-hmm. It's referring to WWE having their ducks in a row and actually having all this planned out. So, you know, they know months in advance how this is going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're producing long-term storylines, when you're producing shows as big as WrestleMania, that's the kind of thing that you should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this should all be cemented in and go, well, we know exactly where we're going to be, and this is where we want to be next year. So what do we do now to make sure that we are setting off on the right foot toward that?
Mm-hmm.
This seems like on one hand, yeah, you could see this as, well, this is a huge decision. They would have been debating it and going over it for as long as they possibly could before making the decision. On the other hand, it's like, that seems really slipshod.
Mm-hmm.
Just,
mm-hmm.
Well, the day of the match, the day of Taker's one match of the year, and they go, you know, it's done. We're just going to end it.
Mm-hmm.
Which it seems like a big decision to make that close to the match. You know, at that point, the match is 6 hours away. It almost makes it feel arbitrary. Like, I know why, for storyline reasons, it's probably the best decision they could have gone with. You know, and for Taker's well-being, it's probably the best decision they could have gone with.
Mm-hmm.
But still, that doesn't seem like a decision. Like, if you made a decision, like, even on Saturday night, if you've made a decision on that match, stick to it. You can't get flighty about it.
Well, the thing is, here it is. They didn't have a decision on the match to stick to or change from. It was up in the air right up until 4 hours before showtime.
That doesn't make it good. That doesn't make it the right call.
Are you still pissed off he lost?
I was never pissed off in the first place, you'll remember. Because, as said, storyline-wise, that's the best choice they could have made, because it's the most interesting thing they could have done with that match.
Yeah, but I was talking on a personal level. Weren't you so angry that you walked out of WWE because he lost?
No.
Being a smartass, just referring to all the people who did.
Yes, one loss. Ruined forever.
Yeah, now, do you figure...
Try having Michael Bay write shit for you, then tell me what's ruined forever.
Yeah, well, how much input do you think Lesnar had into the decision at all?
Probably none.
You figure that if he was told he was jobbing, he would have been okay with it?
He's jobbed to bigger.
Well,
that's a big match to have under his belt. That's a big opponent, but he's jobbed to Cena. His job to Triple H.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Lesnar doesn't seem to have the same commitment to the business that the other ones, that the other guys in the locker room do. You know, it still feels very much, you know, pin me, pay me type situation. Just with a much bigger name than Tommy Dreamer in such cases.
Okay, yeah. Well, yeah, I guess that kind of makes sense. Are we just about due for our next time out of the evening? I think we might be, eh?
It's been half an hour.
Yeah, well, why don't we take intermission number two. Everybody listen to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. As we wait to make sure that the producer's all ready to go, just want to remind everybody that the next WWE pay-per-view is called Payback. And I do believe that takes place on, like, June 1st or something like that, 1st of June.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's a unified message to Chicago fans who are going to be in attendance for Payback, okay? No CM Punk chance. Shut the fuck up already. Love Wild Talk Radio.
It's over, guys. He turned his back on us. Fuck him.
There you go. And apparently, according to everybody, he's retired. That being said, we're gonna take this little time out. We'll be back right after this. Don't go anywhere unless you're clicking the Google AdSense ads all around the website, because we're $5 away from paying for the server. Help us out. We'll be back right after this. Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com, and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
What's up, bitches? This is the Boston Badass, a.k.a. the Big Time Player, a.k.a. the Resident Masshole, or just simply Ace. I'm here to tell you about a way for you to find out about all the unusual things we have done over the years, and trust me, we have done a lot of unusual things over the past few years. Everything from bitches to crossing highways to strange ramblings by subway that no one ever really understands. sex toys, which of course includes the blue dildo, and even the time, well, times I got pissed face drunk on this. Really, Rock? We're gonna really talk about that? Fuck you. You can relive all the excitement of your only excuse to be home on a Saturday night, CB Radio, by visiting our official website at cbradio.ewazone.com. That's once again, cbradio.ewazone.com. Don't be a bitch ass. Visit the site and listen every Saturday night, about midnight, sometimes it starts about 12:30-ish, you know, Eastern time, just to find out what possibly we can come up with next.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWmania.com. Again, the web address is PWmania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWmania.com.
The evolution of online sports entertainment. WrestleTalk Radio is back.
Yes!
I know. The show hasn't gone anywhere. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying WrestleTalkRadio.com is back.
Yes!
Visit all the new historical WrestleTalkRadio.com to learn about the history of the show and hear shows from the past that you never thought you would ever hear again.
Yes!
Plus, you can now follow the show on Twitter at WTR Sunday Night.
What?
Like us on Facebook.
What?
Go to Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio.
Yes!
Once again, visit the all-new WrestleTalkRadio.com today.
Yes!
Will you stop that?
No!
Cut it out!
No!
I've got cookies.
Maybe.
Every Thursday night, we bring to you The Rack.
These people yearn for enlightenment. Who do they have to turn to? Who do they have to place upon a pedestal so that they may bask in the glow of their own essence? In short, the answer is no one.
We bring you a complete recap of Impact Wrestling, along with all of the latest news and unique discussions about the world of professional wrestling.
Sure, there are those who attempt to appeal to the unwashed masses, but they are nothing more than false prophets whom I will expose.
Join us Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, for The Rack.
I am the bright beam of enlightenment that will serve as the avenging sword of taste and decency.
Redefining pro wrestling talk from the fans, for the fans, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You're welcome!
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
That's currently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a gangbang or something. That's no gangbang. Maybe the world needs fans. End of the world Gangnam style.
Weird shit becomes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I don't... I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art, or is this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot, but...
Watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck?
I thought the people are going to be showing at the party. Oh, you Gundam style over here.
That's the horse you have, that's the horse you have. Not the pelvic thrust. That Mr. Sulu in the sky? Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I don't know.
That 800 million? Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah.
This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's gonna be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I gotta play something else, Rock. I'm gonna wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless, I was made in America.
I don't care what y'all say.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network. Keep listening, because Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
WTR Sunday night. This is Wrestle Talk Radio. We're on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We're also, I do believe, at least sometimes, simulcasting on PWMedia.com.
We are.
See? Told ya. So if you're a PW Maniac, hey, look at that. I just coined something. Tuning in from their website, thank you very much for joining us, and I hope that you make a habit of it. By the way, if you haven't followed him on Twitter yet, follow the Mace thing. I'm just, you know, doing all of these promotional crap things out of order. Omega has a Twitter.
This show has a Twitter too, Tim.
I was getting to there, but Omega has a Twitter. That's a hint.
TG Omega.
Yeah, you can follow him. You can follow me on Twitter. You should follow me on Twitter because I tweet. I'm a tweeter. And you can follow me at GoNHLGo. Because it's where hockey fans gather. And, of course, follow Wrestle Talk Radio on Twitter at Wrestle Talk Radio. And, of course, you can follow Wild Talk Radio on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio. And we'll do even more plugs later on. Speaking about plugs, hey, Mace, how's the KFC?
No.
Too much grease doesn't do the body good.
But I thought grease was the word.
Yeah, but not since... Well, it was back in 1978. It's got a, you know, got a groove, it's got a feeling.
Or it has a motion, too.
Yeah, that too. Yep.
You're welcome.
He's just on top of it.
How are you that fast?
Because I'm good.
He just hears us talking about it, and then he just goes into his vast folder of MP3 shit. He clicks on show tunes, and there it is. Or musicals or whatever.
It's in a grease folder.
You don't actually have a grease folder.
I do.
Dude, grease, come on. Grease, give me some grease lightning.
You want some grease lightning?
Give me some grease lightning. Crank that bitch up.
Let's find some grease lightning. That's not even what it's called, is it? No, it's not. It's called this, isn't it?
No, that wasn't it.
No, that's Summer Nights.
Summer Nights.
Grease lightning.
There it is. I found it. There we go. There we go.
Yeah, but we can't hear it.
Hey, Cam.
Why the grease lightning? We'll get some overhead lifters and four-barrel quads, oh yeah. We're talking dark. Fuel injection cut off in chrome-plated rods, oh yeah. With a four-speed on the floor, never waiting at the door. You know that ain't no shit, we're gonna get licensed grease lightning.
Okay, that's enough. That's enough. Shut it off before I start doing the dance.
piss on it, Brock. I'm not going to do it. Besides, if I was doing it, you wouldn't be able to see it. I don't know.
Yeah, sort of pointless when Tim doesn't have a webcam on. So.
Yeah, it's just like a waste of time. But yeah, Wild Talk Radio chat member MIB1UW767, we actually played some Grease tunes. You never know what's going to happen. It's a free-for-all. And usually, it's a free-for-all, but it's usually a little bit more structured than tonight is. Tonight is totally free-flowing. We should actually play a game of Stump the Producer and see if we can come up with a song that he cannot play within 2 minutes.
2 minutes? That's giving him way too much time. It should be 30 seconds.
All right.
But anyway, but no, I don't want to be here all night playing music. Let's get through the end of this.
There you go. I'm curious. There's been talk about unifying yet another set of titles with WWE. And, okay, I have no problems with having unified the WWE and the World Heavyweight Championship. Question is that a permanent unification, or do you see them at some point in time splitting it up?
I really want to see it as a permanent unification, if only because the talent roster just isn't deep enough to support two belts anymore.
Two heavyweight titles.
Yeah.
Okay, what do you think, Mace?
It's something that's really needing to happen. You know, like Omega said, that just not enough people on the roster to support the two belts.
Yeah. Now, that being said, can you see them actually coming up with a unified title at some point in time? Possibly after they make enough money on sales of the replica WWE title.
Well... Well, no. Like,
let's see. But let's merge the IC and the US belts together and bring back the TV title.
Well, that's where I'm eventually leading to, but let Omega make his...
Here's the thing. They just went ahead and made this giant-ass belt based off the WWE Scratch logo.
Yep.
We know now that they are going to do away with the Scratch logo by the end of the year.
Yep. They've already started with the network.
Right. You can't find it anywhere on... Yeah, you watch broadcasts of NXT, all you see is that modern, sleek version. Mm-hmm. They're going to need to replace the belt. So, if you're going to see him, if you're going to see a champion walk around just one WWE World Heavyweight Championship strap, it's probably going to be after they have the guys from American Chopper make them another one.
Yeah.
And then Mattel's going to be pissed as fuck because they just got done making the toy belts of the new one.
Yep. What the fuck? So there's a chance that they'll wind up doing that within the next year. But now, just to take that a little further, Mace, you brought it up. Guys, is the roster deep enough they can actually support both the Intercontinental title and the U.S. Championship? Or should they unify those as well?
Well, as long as we're only using one for the last year, they might as well.
Unify all the belts.
So like, it's just one...
Just put it all... Yep, everybody's going for the World Heavyweight title.
The Diva title, all
no.
The Diva's title gets rolled into the World Heavyweight title. Bring back the KV title and unify that with the Heavyweight Championship.
God, unification match. Paige versus Big E.
Yeah, well, this is what I'm, you know... thinking would be really bad.
Hey, no, think about it this way. Unification match for the IC, US, and Divas title. Barrett versus Sheamus versus Paige. It's a European wet dream.
Goddamn Europeans.
Hey, that's part of the reason that they're looking at maybe unify the US and IC belts. So they can have a feud between Barrett and Sheamus on the upcoming European tour.
Yeah, this is true. Now, but the question is, should they do it, or, you know, provided that, you know, each champion actually defends the title, is the roster deep enough below the main event that they could actually support two titles going forward from here? Because let's face it, it has been a bit of a stretch, and Ambrose, really, defending his title once every 3 months isn't good enough.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the one thing that Ambrose proved, is that the roster, or at least creative, doesn't see enough in the roster to support two belts.
Okay.
So, you know, at this point, unification does seem like a good idea.
Okay.
See, the scary thing is the mid-card of the WWE probably is strong enough to hold two belts at a time. I mean, even in the Attitude Era, you could have the exact same argument with the IC and European Championship. And then we had the Hardcore Championship on top of that. Here, you gotta keep in mind, so many of these guys that get pushed in the WWE, they're a big thing for 6 months or so, and then they just kind of lose interest in them, they taper off, and then they just falter into the mid-card. You look at the likes of Kofi, who flirted with the top card for maybe a month, and then has been relinquished down to the mid-card. Miz, Dolph Ziggler, both with championships under their belts, world titles under their belts, and they're mid-card jobbing right now. It's just a lot of people just fall to the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, good guys that should have a chance to have some kind of credibility, and yeah, you probably could if you book them smart enough. You probably could hold two belts in the mid card.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but you don't see the booking being that smart.
Dean Ambrose, my point made.
So, yeah, but. Now, they unify these titles. Would that wind up resulting in a couple of members of the roster being let go? We've seen stuff like that happen before. Do you see this happening if they unify the U.S. and the Intercontinental?
They're already trimming the roster to make room for NXT call-ups, as it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, unifying the titles or keeping the titles separate doesn't really have much effect on who stays and who goes on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got to that point where we're looking at the slow build of the next generation of wrestlers that we're going to see for the next 10-plus years.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's got more of an impact on who stays and who goes than any belts. Because, let's face it, the belts... exactly what a lot of people have considered them be for a long time, mere trinkets.
Mm-hmm.
They don't mean anything in the grand scheme of things. They're not like a raise in paycheck or anything like that.
Yep.
It's literally just, hey, you've got a belt. Congratulations. you get to carry an extra 15, 20 pounds in your bag every time you try to check in at the airport. Good luck.
Yeah. Point taken. So, yeah. Personally, I, as much as I like the U.S. title, I think the Intercontinental has just that much more prestige. They should unify the belts and just use the IC title. And what do you call them? The Unified Intercontinental Champion or what? Just the Intercontinental Champion.
The Intercontinental Champion. That's it.
There you go. Yeah. Okay.
Or if you really want to play out the storyline from WWE 13, you have Barrett versus Sheamus, and the winner drops both belts and go, hey, I'm going to bring back the European title.
Yeah, there you go. Would you like to see the European title returned?
Only if they bring back Al Snow as an active wrestler and let him win it.
That might be a little difficult, but okay.
Why, he's on the payroll.
Well, yeah, true, but...
No, he's not.
Isn't he? I thought he was in...
Oh, wait a minute.
I thought he was a trainer.
Wrong company.
Yeah, he's
in... he's with that other... Oh, he's with that other mob. Okay.
He's a producer for, you know, Impact Wrestling.
I'm sure if WWE wanted to bring him back, they could throw enough money at him.
Well, I'm sure if WWE wanted to bring him back, they'd have done so by now.
Well, he does work for TNA, so they probably could offer a minimum wage.
And he'd still be ecstatic.
Well, it'd be a pay increase over what he's getting now, I'm quite sure.
There you go. Speaking about paying career, rumors abound that Batista shot down a plan by Creative to have him actually face Daniel Bryan for the title at Payback.
Well, it's not, got nothing to do with having to job to Daniel Bryan, though. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Reports were coming out later that it was more to do with certain promises and title runs and stuff like that that was promised to him upon signing that have yet to materialize.
Well, wasn't the original plan for him to win the title changed once the crowd reacted the way they did?
By the word of it, yes.
Yeah.
But nothing can be confirmed or denied because, well, we're not Vince McMahon.
This is truth. Or, you know, those that are buried.
Dave, we were going to push you to the moon, but...
people don't like you.
Everyone hates you.
And not in a good way. Everybody, X-Pac hate you. Or X-Pac hates you.
X-Pac was sitting at home going, God damn, I wish I wasn't. You know, I'm glad I'm not Dave Bautista.
Yeah.
Now, yeah. You know that
I wish they liked me that much.
You know you're doing poorly when Xbox is saying that. Xbox is saying that. Xbox, what the fuck? Anyway. So,
the sad thing is, Xbox got like a retro cool to him now.
Mm-hmm. Kind of?
Kind of. Like, he came out of the Hall of Fame and...
Yeah, when he's a part of the clique, then, yeah, he gets the retro coolness. When he's on his own, he's just sad.
Well, just but, like, when he's part of the clique, isn't that, like, letting your kid brother tag along when you go to the water, to the swimming hole?
Pretty much.
Yeah. You know? You don't really want him there.
Unfortunately, on his own, he is still just the guy who did that really bad porn with China.
Yeah.
Well, that's why we bring him back as parts of teams. You know, he gets a pop with DX. He gets a pop as part of the clique.
Now, yep.
Let's reunite him with Justin Credible and Albert and see what happens.
Yeah, that'll go over like a lead balloon. You might as well start a rock band.
You mean like the first time?
Yeah. So... But, back to Batista. Apparently now, he's planning to, leave WWE next month. Again, according to reports. Now, the question is, was this the original plan? He was going to come in, win the title at WrestleMania, hold it until payback, drop it then bugger off and go film his movie, or has he decided he wants to step up his departure date?
It could be anything, because again, we can't
really
sort of all we can. All we can really do is just sort of like, hey, we think this might happen, but I'll be honest. Like Dave deciding, hey, I'm going to take my time off early and you know do minimal stuff, whatever for the next few months. Good. I hope one of the things he does with that downtime is get on a fucking treadmill.
You figure he needs it, eh?
Dude, he needs to get his cardio back up. It's one thing to be the big, buff, strong guy in wrestling, but you got to realize today is all about how good your cardio is, as well as having that look. You've got to be able to go very quick in the ring.
Stamina, motherfucker.
Yeah. Even
Do
the
you
Rock,
speak it?
for how buff the Rock was when he came back, at least he still had enough stamina in the tank to do a match.
Barely.
Whereas Dave's come back, well, barely, but here's the thing, he still had enough. Dave gets winded going to the fucking ring.
Yeah.
He flows up quicker than the Warrior did.
I was just about to say he's very reminiscent of the Warrior during the Warrior's WWE heyday, which is not a shot. It's just the truth. I mean, Warrior focused on his physique and his muscles, but he didn't work on his endurance.
He admitted it at the Hall of Fame. He got blown up all the time.
Yep,
that's what Warrior did.
Yeah, but the difference between Warrior and Batista, Warrior was in an age where you could have the slower work pace.
Yeah.
Today's WWE, today's wrestling in general, is a very fast-paced style. For the big guys, that's why I'm concentrating so much on my cardio before I even set my foot back in a training to get back in the ring.
Well, Warrior also has the advantage of an actual level of charisma.
Yeah, but yeah, as, true. As well, how long did the Warrior Hogan match last in, what was it, 92? How long did that match last?
About 3 simulated blowjobs too long.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Available now at wildtalkradio.com/WTRriffs. You're welcome.
There you go. Anyway, the point is, the match that he had with Hogan, the duration, the length of the match wouldn't fly as the main event nowadays.
The main event went 22 minutes and 51 seconds.
Yeah, main events nowadays are
20
at 30 minutes.
Not all.
Yeah, no. Generally they're peaking at 30 minutes.
Not always.
Pay-per-view, not Raw.
Raw's actually longer than a pay-per-view.
Rock, you weren't going to talk tonight until it was time for Great Debate.
Hey, I'm just throwing out facts, Tim.
I'm just saying. Anyway, yeah, so, you know, there's all that. Anything anybody else want to bring up before we get into the Great Debate?
Yes, the main event for Extreme Rules went 22-44. There you go.
All right, just get on with it. You're not the one I'm asking. Guy's not named Rock? Or nicknamed Rock?
No, I think I'm good. We could go into our discussion about The Amazing Spider-Man 2, but that'll be after the show.
Yeah, you know it's going to be after the show, and who knows, maybe we'll do a post-show all about Spider-Man 2. Then again, maybe not, because I haven't seen it yet.
I highly doubt that.
And based on what you guys have been saying, I probably won't see it. So, why don't we get into the Great Debate?
Welcome to this week's Great Debate.
Oh my God, wait a minute, it's Paul Bear! That's gotta be Kane!
And I am the new millennium for the World Wrestling Federation! Now for those of you who don't know me, I am Chris Jericho, your new hero! Your party host, and most importantly, the most charismatic showman to ever enter your living rooms via a television screen.
If this is who we think it is, and we have every reason to believe that this is the human being that has been stalking The Undertaker's wife.
Now, step into the ring with us for this week's Great Debate.
And the main event of WrestleMania 30 was 23-20.
You're shut up, Rocky! There we go. Enough.
Your Great Debate this week is Kane versus Kevin Thorne, Omega.
Yeah, no, it's time for Thorne to leave us. It really is. He had a much better run than he probably did in the actual WWE. But Kane's is just Kevin Thorne's is a nice novelty. It was a clever use of the sci-fi gimmick. You know, and it worked for a while. But no. Kane's is just much more impactful. It's a much bigger moment. It was built up. It was built up just like Thorne's debut, but much, much better. Much better remembered.
Mace.
Yeah, it's Kane. Better impact. And let's face it, the only reason we ever watched Kevin Thorne was for Ariel anyway.
Tim?
Yeah, Kevin Thorne is not getting my vote.
I was so convinced.
No, you weren't. Don't lie.
Oh, no, I completely bought into that fake out, Tim.
Yeah, sure you did. It was a swerve of epic proportions worthy of Paul Heyman, whose client, Brock Lesnar, ended the streak.
Conquered the streak. Anyway,
whatever.
Kevin and Thorne is
you're an ass, by the way.
As you weren't trying to be at the beginning of the show. Anyway.
You're still an ass.
Mickie James takes on the Big Show's WWE debut, Mace.
Oh, god damn it.
No, hold on, Mace. Hold on, Mace.
Tim. No. Mace can go.
Open
too late.
Open
He's already started.
No, Tim, you can go first. Let's have your opinion. Let's have your opinion count.
No.
All right, fine, Mace.
No.
Mace,
no.
Go.
Mace, you already said Mace first, and he started, then you interrupted him. That's rude. Mace, go ahead.
I just did, so you said words, so you trumped me. Go right ahead.
I said, god damn it. Okay, I was watching hockey. Go, Mace. It's the playoffs.
Sure, whatever. This is the thing, it's like, I like me a crazy chick. And Mickie James was a bit crazy. Mm-hmm. We got the Big Show throwing Stone Cold practically through an old school style steel cage, mm-hmm. which is pretty damn impressive. Sorry, Mickey. I'm gonna get a Big Show on this one.
God damn it, Tim. Your turn.
What was that for?
Just because. Go. Your turn.
You're a dick. Mickey deserves to be pitted against somebody who's not the Big Show because it just reminds me of season 3 of Hell's Kitchen where Julia had to be let go because she was going up against Rock and she didn't deserve to be sent home. But she was because the other two girls on her team were pretentious bitches. God damn it. I'm so sorry, Mickey James. It's the Big Show.
Really?
Did I work that in there? I don't know how I did that.
Hell's Kitchen.
Yep.
Tim likes
that's the comparison we used.
Well, here, earlier I proposed it to Rock, and I'm going to bring it up before he does, so he doesn't, like, get the chance to try to embarrass me. Let's make up two teams of WWE superstars and put them in Hell's Kitchen.
Omega, what do you think? Mickey James or Big Show?
I think it just blew your quick hits questions.
No, not really. No.
No, not really. Okay. Trust me.
No, it's Big Show. That's an easy one. Love a crazy chick with lesbian tendencies, but yeah, Big Show is just a much more memorable, much more impactful debut.
So as Big Show and Kane move to the Final Four next week, it's the Radicals taking on the NWO, while Chris Jericho's WWE debut takes on the debut of the Outsiders next week.
What the hell is that noise? There you go.
We don't hear any noise.
Yeah, I'm sorry. My Vaughn player all of a sudden started playing a Cascade commercial.
Gotcha.
Stupid thing. Pisses me off. Yeah, so what are we doing? Because I wasn't able to hear you because the commercial was in my ear.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk for you. Quick hits. That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
So Tim decided he would be, you know, productive and actually present a quick hit question for the week that he wanted me to use. Well, not going to happen. So, Tim, What is one superpower you wouldn't want to have and why?
Would not want to have?
Correct.
You're such a fucking tool.
That's why this is so much fun.
You're a tool.
Answer the question.
You're a tool. That's my answer.
No.
A superpower I don't want to have?
Correct.
I don't know. You're a dick.
Let me guess, you had an answer prepared for the other one. Didn't you?
Oh, I could have come up with one.
Well, now figure out one you don't want.
No!
Yes.
Superpower? You don't want to have... Atomic farts.
Why?
Because that would hurt.
Okay, Maze, your turn. What is one superpower you wouldn't want to have?
Immortality.
How come?
Dorian Gray.
Well, here's the thing. Like, everybody goes, oh, you could live forever, you'd never have to die. But you realize that after a certain amount of time, all your friends, your family, everything is going to pass on. And usually, with the whole thing of immortality, usually comes the problem either you procreate too much, only to watch your family continuously die over and over again, or you're not allowed to procreate, which means that your family lineage stops with you. And while sure, you might get to see the way technology in the world develops over the thousands and millions of years that you're alive, eventually existence is going to break down, crumble, and die around you, and you're going to be left with nothing. And that's probably one of the worst things that could ever happen, is to be alone for all of time.
See, that's...
Yeah, for those of you who want to actually sort of see a lot more of what I'm talking about, go track down a book called Hulk the End and read that. You will understand more my line of thinking about the whole immortality thing.
See, that was so much better than atomic farts. Omega, your turn. Same question.
Well, I object because immortality is not really a superpower.
It is in
some cases.
It's
a condition or a state of being, and that's it. Anyway.
And atomic farts...
I'll allow it with an asterisk. Go ahead.
And atomic farts is really a superpower. Anyway, your turn,
watch
Omega.
Mystery Men, fucker.
Or Hulk. Again,
the
Hulk.
Spleen.
Atomic farts.
Anyway, Omega, your turn.
Mace knew what I was talking about.
See, I was going to cop out and say something like pissing fire, because I saw that in Ghost Rider, and I'm like, no.
Ow.
That's a condition only Lita should provide.
Holy shit, talk about herpes complex 35.
There's a vintage Omega joke. Anyway.
It's been a while.
Not for Lita.
Never for Lita. I'm going to go with shape-shifting.
Really? You would want to be able to shift shapes?
Your metamorphosis.
Wow.
Here's the thing.
For you.
Here's the thing. It sounds great. But you have to remember, when you turn into certain things, you leave yourself vulnerable to those specific limitations. So, it'd be real...
I hate you for putting images in my head. No, I'm not going to expound. Go ahead, continue.
Son of a bitch. No, because it's all well and good. You're turning into animals and all kinds of shit. And it's like, oh, this is fun. I can fly around. I can turn into small things and peek in the girls' locker room. And until they start throwing shoes at you. And you realize, oh, wait, I'm small and squishable now. Or it's those little things that you don't pick up on. Like, okay, it's fun to turn into an eagle. until I forget this is about the spot where airplanes fly through.
Where you get really drunk and decide it might be fun to turn it to metamorphose into a tampon, and then you're like, wait a minute. Yeah, he went there.
Where is your brain?
In the fucking gutter.
Absolutely. I'm sorry.
Oh,
it's
my
just
God.
You triggered something that I heard on the comedy radio show network, and it was just a really hilarious routine. It was gross, totally disgusting, but it was funny at the same time. Anyway, continue.
Sitting here talking about the flaws of metamorphosis, and Tim's thinking about transforming
champions. Stop tampons. It. Okay, yeah, just move on.
You good, Omega?
I'm not sure I can be good after that.
Well, because I really didn't have many other questions. I'm changing the question I'm giving to Tim. Tim, what type of tampon would you be and why?
I reject your change. No, I'm sorry. That's just, you can't do that. And so I will not answer that.
Yes, I can. So go.
Well, too bad. I'm not answering it.
Why,
I'm
Tim?
More stubborn than you are.
Why won't you answer the question?
Because you're not going to change it midstream like that.
Isn't this whole show tonight on the fly?
Oh, not quite like that. No.
According to anonymous, you know, person in
yes,
the chat
room.
Yes, I
saw that. Homemade ones. Fuck off. Oh, yeah.
The guy who always keeps it Christian, he says the one he makes at home.
The guy who always keeps it Christian.
Pick up on the joke, Tim. You can catch up.
Yeah, okay.
Got that one?
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Alright, since you don't want to answer, what type of tampon would you be and why?
Because you're a dick, so ask the original one.
If you were starting your own wrestling company, who is the one guy you would build your company around?
Oh, for Christ's sakes, what are you doing asking me that question? No, that's not even close to humorous right now.
So, would you be an extra absorbent? Would you be scented?
Would you have wings?
That depends. Wait a minute. Tampon's got wings?
That sounds painful.
Ask the ladies. They'd know. Hey, what's Lindsay doing? Call her up.
We are not calling Lindsay and asking about tampons.
If they have wings or not. Because she'd know.
You got two questions on the table, Tim. Answer one of them.
Neither one of them.
You have to answer one.
Neither one of them. And you deserve a punch in the junk for one of those questions.
Why?
If you had to build a wrestling company around a tampon, what brand?
Los Angeles Clippers is my answer.
You're a racist. Anyway, I'm going to ask the question now to Maze. Maze, you're starting your own wrestling company. Who are you building around and why?
Own wrestling company, who am I building around and why?
Yeah, what's the one person you're building around?
It's actually interesting because, you know, I could say I'm building around the guys who put up the ring, because without them, the business would fold.
But you just need one person, so I don't think one person's putting up the ring.
No, but I don't know. Believe me, I've put up rings by myself.
Anyway.
That's a good question. You know what? Christopher Daniels. Guy's highly underrated, deserves so much better, and can do so much more.
Okay. And Omega, I bet you can't guess what the question is.
At this point, I really can't.
What type of... No. You're building a company. Who you? What's the one person you're building around?
Oh, that's... that is tricky. See, if I was going to build a company, it would be to offer something a little bit more unique. I'd almost want to put up a... more of a cruiserweight kind of Lucha Libre company more than anything. Something that's kind of counter to what you get from any of the big brands. The trick is, I'm hard pressed to actually come up with a name that's actually appropriate for that.
Rey Mysterio. Oh.
If I build a company around Rey Mysterio, I'll be folded in 2 months once the knee gives out.
I know the
Sin Cara. No,
no, 1 month.
Here's one for you. The dude who was on NXT this week.
Kalisto.
Yes.
It was actually really cool.
He was.
Hey.
Kalisto and El Locale.
El Locale got a win.
Yes, he did.
I think he was as shocked as we were.
It made me happy. Maybe he's so happy. I thought it would have been great. You know, what if Ricardo actually gets back to the main roster with the El Locale gimmick, like tagging with Kalisto, and the Spanish announce team becomes this like Clark Kent thing where he's never around during an El Locale match?
As long as he doesn't start going Citizen Renee Young, we'll be right.
God. I was talking to a friend of mine about that scenario the other day, and oh my god, the hilarity of the Spanish announce broadcast was just, I wish I spoke the language.
So, you're gonna go with him?
It's hard to say Kalisto after a single match, but you know what, fuck it, yeah.
See, at least Mace and Omega Tim actually went with the question, you know, and gave an actual answer. Good job playing along.
New York Rangers.
No, Tim.
Fine, I'm going home.
But you're already home.
Oh, well, in that case, well, get out of my house.
Well, before we get out of your house, how about you start plugging stuff?
I'm about to. Absolutely. And now, you know, like, never mind. Everybody, you've been listening to another edition of WTR.
If Tim is... No, hold on.
Tim, West Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thank you very much for tuning in. Next week, we're back at a regular time, 10 o'clock Eastern.
We started at 10 this week,
too. There's no pay-per-view.
We were at 10 p.m. We started at 10 this week, too.
I say that we're back to our regular time again at 10 o'clock Eastern. Yes, I know. Don't interrupt me like that when I'm doing what I'm doing, okay? Thank you. But tomorrow night at approximately 11:30-ish, it's right after Raw. Only it's called the Raw Post Show. And Rock and Lindsay will break down 3 hours worth of Raw into about 45 minutes for it. So tune in and listen to that tomorrow night. And then Thursday night, tune in to listen to The Wreck with your host, Lindsay Ward. Now, that show's on at 11 o'clock Eastern time.
Yes, yes it is, Tim. And you can follow the show on Twitter at WTR_Wreck and Facebook.com/WTR Wreck. Visit WreckRadioShow.com right now and listen to episode 7 of the season 2 reviews of Total Divas called The Wreck Extra Total Divas. It is on WildTalkRadio.com and WreckRadioShow.com right now. And that you can check out season 2 episode 8 review Friday afternoon.
There you go. And, of course, Sunday night will be the day after Saturday night. Saturday night around midnight Eastern-ish. It's the continuing episodes of CB Radio returning after a one-week hiatus.
The continuing... This is as bad as Farouk versus Ahmed Johnson at In Your House, A Cold Day in Hell that I just watched. Yes, we'll be back. We'll be back Saturday night, midnight is for CB Radio. Follow the show on Twitter at CB Radio WTR and Facebook.com/cigarette butts and bandanas. Go to CBRadio.EWAZone.com for every episode we have ever done.
And then again, I already talked about another episode of Rust Talk Radio next Sunday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Everybody, follow Rust Talk Radio on Twitter. Follow Wild Talk Radio on Twitter. We've already done the other guys, but if they want to say it again, now's their chance.
Well, first of all, you can follow me at The Mace Thing on Twitter. You can also go to youtube.com/user/WTRGamesGarage, where you can subscribe to our little gaming area, which includes a recent video where I review three separate games brought to me by Bandai Namco Australia. What the hell? Adetel, folks. Dark Souls 2, The Witch and the Hundred Knight, and JoJo's Bizarre Adventure All-Star Battle, three games reviewed. More content coming up as soon as I can get around to editing it, including more and more reviews as stuff comes in. So please go there, subscribe, and if you like what you see, make sure you tell other people, get them to subscribe, so eventually I can have enough people like Omega and start having money.
Oh, it's cute how you think this makes money.
It's better than the none that I'm making now.
Omega.
Alright. Yeah, as usual, my stuff can be found at tgomega.org, TG Omega on YouTube, TG Omega on Twitter, and TG Reviews on Facebook, because making sure you're paying attention.
Just for shits and giggles, and the fact that somebody ripped them off and won't relinquish. Well, it's true. You guys are prick. Face it.
Still hurts.
I'm sorry. Everybody, check out GoNHLGo.com, provided you're a hockey fan. Even if you're not a hockey fan, go to the forum. GoNHL.go/forum. Log in, join up. You don't have to talk about hockey. The forum is open for a whole bunch of different ideas, things you want to talk about. And if you do talk about hockey, you can talk about it there. If you don't want to talk about hockey, you know, post about the latest television show you watched. Rate and review the latest movie you've seen, right, Mace? That's right. Absolutely.
Go.com/forum. Or you could post what type of tampon Tim would actually be.
No, that's enough of your garbage. Okay. That being said, everybody have yourselves a great week. Catch you next Sunday night.
You did.
All right, that's it, you guys. Staff meeting, my office, 5 minutes.
Okay, Mr. Melding.
I've already got another meeting, but give me a minute. I think I can pull some strings.
Get out of it. Mitch is going to be there because the Coke's free.